Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
Sad situation after 2 weeks of fantasy football right now. Sad situations. This is why daily fantasy football was created. This is why DraftKings is the number one advertiser in the United States of America. We are in injury hell. Of course, you're listening to The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, and my man, high-stakes fantasy football Hall of Famer, Chris McCarroll. Chris, before the show started, you were filling me in on some news about some more injuries going on right now. This is getting to the point where there is red check marks, red X's, red crosses next to everybody in your lineup. And you know what? We got to figure out how to get this done because the live scoring ain't going to stop.
Yeah, Cor, it really isn't, man. I know it stinks that we have to bring in the show this week on a somber note and everything, but it's the truth. It's just what all of us fantasy owners are dealing with through the first 2 weeks. Who's dealing with less injuries than other teams? I mean, it's really unbelievable. Every couple minutes, it seems there's more news out of a different player being nicked up, hurt. You know, today we just got the DeAndre Hopkins has a concussion all of a sudden news and DeMarco Murray with a hamstring. I mean, it's really crazy through the first 2 weeks, Corey. There's no need to dwell on it. I mean, I have one high-stakes team that, no joke, I have seven guys through the first 2 weeks that were good players in my lineup that are hurt and either on the bench or out for the season. And that's 7 out of 20 already, out of 20 players drafted. 7 are hurt. I mean, that's just crazy. It's 2 weeks.
That's a third of the team right there. You're going to the waiver wire tonight, big waiver wire night. Fab stuff coming up. And you know what? The DeAndre Hopkins news, I'm like 80% exposure to DeAndre Hopkins across my teams. That news is I come in and log on and get online and get things rocking and rolling. That's sending me back to the waiver wire because I was planning on cutting Nate Washington tonight to pick up a quarterback. I'm going to have four quarterbacks on my roster by tomorrow morning. And now I got to hold on to Nate Washington because I may have to play him this week or I may have to flex him because it's all over the place right now, Chris. I mean, it's like really no formal flow to this show. We're just sitting up here talking, but it is no way you're supposed to try to put together a lineup, a roster to go out there each and every Sunday. But we don't have the tools like Bill Parcells. Yeah, we can't shop for the groceries.
Yeah, I mean, Corey, what sucks is, you know, your starters get hurt and you go to the bench to go get your backups at those positions and they're hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, Jesus. I mean, I had two tight ends. They're both gone. You know, Safarian Jenkins was the backup and he got hurt. Now I got to go to the waiver wire, or else I don't even have a starting tight end in two of my leagues. So it's crazy, Corey. Hopefully it slows down these injuries, but through the first 2 weeks, that's the story of the season, of the fantasy season so far, is all these injuries. And not only, you know, it's not even to scrub players or average players. We're talking good players here, you know, good players. You know, Romo, Dez Bryant. Decker got hurt. We mentioned the other guys with Hopkins now, and, you know, we could go on and on and on already. DeMarco Murray's hurt now. It's crazy. It really is. But, hey, this is going to separate, the players that draft very well and have good bench depth and could get through these couple weeks while the players are sidelined and hopefully get them back healthy and go forward. You know, we'll have to see, but it's a crazy 2 weeks so far, Corey, and it, you know, it's disheartening, Corey. It really is. When you when you're big time fantasy players, and you know, a lot of our guys, listeners, you, me, myself, you know, we have multiple teams and everything. We're highly invested in all these teams. And then they're just riddled with injury. It takes the fun out of it a little bit, but, hey, it's part of the game.
No, it's part of the game, and we definitely have to adjust, and that's what we're here to help you do, because now we have to test our mettle. You know, I've coasted through seasons where I say, wow, I've gone through this season without a single injury. I mean, the biggest injury I had in the last 3 or 4 years was A.J. Green's toe last year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're right. So, I mean, you know, certain years that you escape the injury bug, and then there's certain years that it hits you, you know, it seems like every injury that pops up that you hear about is affecting one of your players. So just seems like that year is this year for me and you, you know.
Definitely, but a lot of injuries going around, probably enough to get through everybody. What I want to do today, we got a little bit of extended time because we got a lot of things to talk about and work through and figure out. I'm just going to hop right into game action, and we'll just look at some of these teams team by team. Of course, tomorrow we start with the Giants and Washington, Thursday night football. For DFS purposes, I always like to employ the Thursday night fade, but there is some interesting things going on right now with the New York, with both these teams, actually. And I want to start with Washington because we've seen the emergence of Matt Jones. And now we have a full-blown running back by committee. Chris, my thing is, I think you can play both these guys.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a knock on Alfred Morris, Corey. I mean, Alfred Morris has put together two good games as well. You know, it's not like he's looked bad at all. You know, the Matt Jones game, you know, the week one, Matt Jones didn't do much. You know, this week, obviously, the monster game. And it looks like they could be in for, a little, timeshare, which is, basically, if you look around the NFL, most teams are rotating two backs. So this is just another one. You know, the good thing about Washington and owning either Alfred Morris or Jones so far is Washington's got a really good offensive line this year, and they're going to be, they're going to be relying on their run game a lot.
No doubt, and that's why I think you can play both of these running backs. They're both getting over 15 touches a game. Jones right now looks like the more dynamic player because of his big-time touchdown ability, younger player able to hit the home run. But Alvin Morris has done nothing wrong since he's been in the NFL. He's been very good to fantasy owners, minus the fact he does not catch the football out the backfield. You know how much we love that. But other than that, he's dealt with a situation with terrible quarterbacks and different offensive coordinators and stuff like that. So, but Alvin Morris is definitely – listen, he's still in the mix. No reason to put him on your bench. Pierre Garçon, the Washington, they're not going to throw the football enough, and Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy throwing the football when they are doing it. But with all these quarterback injuries, now we have Breeze and Stafford, and this one's banged up and that one's banged up. This is going to be a big night in Fab as far as going for the quarterbacks. You have to pay up for a quarterback when they're mostly as you can, pick up a quarterback for a couple of bucks, but now you have to pay up for these jokers because you got to have a quarterback in your lineup. That's the bottom line. And when you get struck by injury, like so many teams are, whether it's Romo or Breeze or whatever the case, you got to pay up for them. Kirk Cousins is the guy you can get for cheap.
Andy Dalton.
I tell you what, if Andy Dalton's available, I don't see a problem with it. But we'll get to that, Chris. But I want to ask you about Kirk Cousins. Is that somebody you can buy on cheap? I don't think it's there.
Nah, I mean, it obviously depends on what you're looking at on waivers. You see the same names on waivers that I do and most of our listeners do. You know, the Bortles, Tyrod Taylor, some leagues I see him still available. But Andy Dalton was another guy that a lot of people, didn't draft. He went undrafted. People were down on him going into the season. Now he put together two really nice weeks. The only thing I'll say to our listeners that are going to go in and go get Dalton is, listen, he had two really nice matchups that he took advantage of the first 2 weeks. His schedule gets a lot harder now in Baltimore. Seattle's on the horizon for them also. He's got a lot of tough matchups coming forward. So I think we saw the best of Dalton. So for the people that are going in on him, temper your expectations.
No doubt. I agree with you on that. Situation in New York, it looks like Odell Beckham is going to be what we expect Odell Beckham to be. Eli Manning is going to be hit or miss at times. Shane Vereen looks like an emerging pass catching running back for PPR owners, which obviously is the majority of what we're playing nowadays. I mean, they're healthy. And Shane Vereen is healthy. How about that? What about Rashard Dennis and Andre Williams?
I don't like what I'm seeing right now, Corey, out of Rashard Jennings at all. And Andre Williams isn't playable either, you know, just because he's just as, you know, he just comes in for a little spell here and there. Out of those two guys, neither one is going to be, you know, well, Jennings is obviously more valuable because he gets more playing time. But unless the other one goes down, Andre will, you know, it won't be, you know, they won't be too valuable, especially Andre Williams, obviously.
I agree with you on that.
The guy out of that backfield that you want, though, is definitely Shane Vereen. And I think he's a good play going forward, especially in this type of offense. They're missing – the Giants are missing that extra wide receiver after, you know, Odell Beckham. And, you know, Shane Vereen just might be the answer in the passing game for them.
No doubt, I agree with you on that. And I think he's a good play in DFS most weeks because of the volume that he gets in the passing game, especially – if you're playing on DraftKings at that point per reception. The Falcons and the Cowboys meet up this week, and the Cowboys have been decimated. Basically, if you're a Dez Bryant owner, you were upset, but if you're a Dez Bryant owner, it was going to be over for you in week two anyway because Brandon Whedon is inadequate from the last time I've seen him as an NFL quarterback. The Romo guys, like myself, we're going to the waiver wire tonight, and we're looking for somebody who can fill in and be somewhat consistent admirably. Number of names out there, like you said, Chris, a lot of the guys we want to talk about. Yeah. I'm looking at, I think if Taylor is available, Taylor is a guy that is high on a lot of people's list when they're going to the waiver wire tonight to, you know, look for a new quarterback to hand over the keys to their investment to. I think
right.
Bortles is also a very interesting name out there. Unfortunately, Johnny Manziel, they're still playing stupid in Cleveland, but I still think a dollar on Manziel is not bad. A dollar on Sanchez may not be bad either. But Blake Bortles is out there, who I think, especially when we got to start playing in week to week, a 14-point road dog this week, I think Bortles is. And it's a couple Fitzpatrick, Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Jets. You know, has a decent matchup this week. And plus, this is Chan Gailey's offense. He's not the old Jets. Chris, when you come to looking at the quarterbacks on the wire and you're a Romo owner or, you know, you're Stafford worried about something, really Cutler's a QB2 at this point in his fantasy career. Breeze situation, what are the quarterbacks? How would you rank them out?
I mean, out of those guys right there, Corey, I do like Bortles. I think all these guys, though, are matchup dependent. You know, these guys, and if you're like this, yeah, and in a year like this, though, I mean, you look at the quarterback position, there's no, you know, gimmies on the board other than, you know, I mean, I hate to say it right now because our boy Andrew Luck is struggling, but, you know, he's a gimme. You know, that's somebody you're playing every week. Aaron Rodgers, same thing. Tom Brady, same thing. After that, I mean, who's a lock? You know, like, the quarterback play is really down in the NFL, and you're just going to have to mix and match with a lot of combinations. I mean, I'm sorry, Roethlisberger, we forgot also. I think you could put him in that list too. But, you know, as for those guys, Bortles I like. I think when he gets Julius Thomas back, hopefully in the next week or two, to go along with an Allen Robinson. He's got Marquise Lee coming back now. Hopefully he's healthy coming, you know, playing out of the slot. He's got options. I really think that offense is on the rise. And I think he showed you last week that he can be that 250, 270 yards a week, two touchdown quarterback. You know, I like him. He would be at the top of that list on waivers for me. After that, Tyrod Taylor. But you know, Rex isn't gonna say, "Hey, kid, go ahead, sling it." You know, they're gonna be more of a predominantly run team. So I would say temper my expectations with him as well. He's a matchup dependent guy.
No doubt, if the game script calls for Buffalo to be in the game where they could be possibly an underdog in a situation where they could be passing a lot, we do like Tyrod Taylor. When he comes to running the football, yeah, he can get some of that work on the ground too, but for the most part, that's going to go to LeSean McCoy and Carlos Williams. Carlos Williams, another guy, probably not available in any of the leagues that we play in, but if he was, jump right now. I want to get to the Dallas Cowboys because now, you know, when you lose Romo, you lose you lose Terrence Williams, you lose Cole Beasley, you lose Jason Witten. The passing on Dallas is almost irrelevant now. Now we get to the front. Yeah. We're looking at Joe Randle and Darren McFadden. Is Joe Randle if you have him at this point in the game, you have to start him more than likely because he is looking like a starting running back right now. But as far as this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons, I can kind of say I think he's going to be they're going to strap the horses to him and McFadden. And I think Randle is almost a must start every week now while they have this quarterback situation in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, Corey, I mean, you got to figure that this is where the offensive line comes into play for the Cowboys. There's no doubt about it. They're saying, hey, listen, until Romo gets back and Dez gets back, probably about 8 weeks from now for both of them, we're relying on the offensive line and our run game to carry us through this. Whedon, you're just going to have to move the chains through the air. We're not going to put the ball in your hands and say, go ahead, throw it, 35 times. That's not going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, I think exactly what you said. You have to give an upgrade to Randle. McFadden, I don't know if he'll get more carries. He's been, pretty much non-existent through the first 2 weeks. And then in the pass game, you got to downgrade Williams and Beasley. But I'm not so sure about Witten. It might sound crazy. I think Whedon, as a veteran quarterback, I know you're not a big fan of his, and I'm not either. But
you made that known.
Yeah, and I think he's just, he'll be good enough to get the ball to these receivers. He had to play, some games. Was it last year or the year before?
He played a game last year, but he was horrendous.
But he also played against
Arizona. It was a game against Arizona, and the Atlanta Falcons are not the Arizona Cardinals.
No, without a doubt. I remember that game now that you say it. He was horrible versus Arizona in that game. He also played a game, I want to say, versus the Cleveland Browns last year where he did very well. Now, that could be the year before that, but either way, I think he'll be good enough to keep Witten relevant, put it that way. We'll leave it at that. I think he'll still make Witten relevant in the pass game.
And that would be a good thing because Witten, I think, is a guy at tight end, and I do agree with you that you still could start. Is Gavin Escobar a guy owners should look at tonight?
I was looking at him, Corey, because I thought maybe the Witten injury would be a couple weeks because he's got – the report, he had two sprained ankles and a kind of a sprained knee also.
Yeah.
And the guy practiced today. Meanwhile, all these other prima donnas, all of a sudden they don't practice all week long and nobody even knows what they have. But Witten's got sprained everything and he's out on the practice field on a Wednesday and he's, an established veteran.
He's a veteran and probably quite possibly a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he probably is. But Escobar, he'll never be relevant unless a Witten goes down.
No doubt, I agree with 100% on that. You look at the Atlanta Falcons side of the football, of course, Tevin Coleman, just when he got rolling last week, had him in a few DFS lineups. He goes down. Now Devontae Freeman becomes the man in the Atlanta Falcons backfield. Freeman's not owned in most leagues, but we do think he's definitely startable in the 12-team redraft league right now. But Leonard Hankerson is looking like a player that is no targets for Roddy White last week, no catches for White was kind of the Giants' defense. And I think that led Hankerson having a big game with the targets that he did have. But Hankerson is being targeted in the offense, and you know what? Right now, Hankerson looks like he is a better football player than Roddy White.
Corey. The Roddy White thing is pretty crazy to me. We both know because we've talked about it on this show. I was completely off Roddy White this year. I don't think you were also. We wanted to stay far away from Roddy White. The first week, he looked decent. I think he had 5 or 6 catches for 80 yards or something. And I was like, whoa, maybe we were, off this guy a year too early. But last week, it all came crashing back down to reality. And, it's looking like time might be passing Roddy White by. He said it wasn't the scheme or anything. He says he was open. He just didn't get the ball. I don't know how true that is. You know, you're seeing this a lot with a lot of these older receivers that are getting into their mid-30s, just like the Andre Johnson situation. These guys can't separate from the defenders anymore, and it's easy for these young cornerbacks to stay with them, and their numbers are declining and suffering because of it.
No doubt, to the point where we're starting to see Dante Moncrief, a guy that looked like he really had no shot in this offense a couple of weeks ago, becoming a major player in this offense and really starting to earn the trust of Andrew Luck. And he's always going to be an interesting play for DFS purposes. And that leads us right into the said Indianapolis Colts as they get ready for the Tennessee Titans this week. Luck looks like a good play in DFS contest this week along with Moncrief. Are you satisfied through 2 weeks with the production of Frank Gore?
No. I mean, Corey, I'm so down on the whole offense right now. Through the first 2 weeks, I could have never expected this. I mean, listen, we could say a million things about this Colts offense. We've talked off the air about it. I mean, it's been a major, major letdown through 2 weeks. I've said it 100 times, all in on Andrew Luck this year and all the wide receivers. I expected this to be an unbelievable 35-40-point offense. I knew, with that said, though, Corey, here's what I want to say. I knew coming in as I was drafting all August, September with these guys, all these guys, I looked at the schedule and I was like, man, they can't have a worse opening 2 week schedule than in Buffalo and then versus the Jets. It's that Jets defense is a nightmare for the Colts. You got the best defensive line in football in the Jets, dominating an offensive line, not giving Andrew Luck time to throw. And then on the back end, you have a Revis-Cromartie pairing shutting down your receivers. I didn't expect it to be that much of a mess on Monday night. But all I could say is all the people that are panicking and are down in the dumps about the Colts offense with Luck and everybody, there's better days ahead now. The schedule eases up big time. You got the Tennessees and the Jacksonvilles of the world. And then if you look past through even further than that, they don't have any of these really tough defensive matchups anymore. So I think Luck and the offense slowly gets on track. We've also talked about it, how the first 2-3 weeks of every NFL season, these last bunch of years, is just all over the place. These offenses are settling in, figuring out what works and doesn't. And I think you'll start seeing some normalcy, you know, as we go forward. Hopefully starting this week with the Colts playing the Titans, you know, Luck should start getting back on track. And I think a lot of people will be off of him in daily this week because they didn't like what they see the first 2 weeks. I think now's the chance to jump back in on him.
No doubt, and I agree with you 100% on that. And now their opponent this week is the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Mariota, we saw the brilliance in week one, a little bit of a disappointment this past week in week two. But now he's getting into a situation where he's not going to be able to turn around and hand the ball off to Bishop Schenke or Terrence West. Now he has in a home game, he has to slug it out with Andrew Luck. So we're going to see what this kid is about throwing the football this week. And you know what? I think the Colts defense is poor. I think Mariota can hang with him this week.
I would stack a Mariota Kendall Wright, you know, pairing for cheap, you know, in daily this week. If the game script goes, I mean, we're always trying to read into the game script and how it's going to go, but if this team's trying to play catch-up with the Colts or back and forth, everything works out perfectly in this game. You've got a Colts defense that's anemic, so the Titans are going to be able to move the ball. You know, the Titans defense isn't nothing special either, so the Colts should be able to move the ball back. This game should, you know, be a back and forth where a lot of people can put up some good numbers. The one thing, Corey, just real quick, you know, that I forgot to say with the Colts is you brought his name up, Dante Moncrief. Now, this is a guy that could win people leagues that was drafted late.
Mm-hmm. Very late.
Very late. And I'll tell you, I was lucky enough to have Moncrief on pretty much half of my teams because we talked about this, you know, on some of our shows leading into draft season, Corey, backing up your big receivers. And when I pretty much have T.Y. Hilton or Andre Johnson or both on most of my teams early. So when you get into that 12 through 15 round range and Dante Moncrief was sitting there all the time, it's like, hey, if any of these two big receivers for the Colts go down, at least I know I have Moncrief stepping in. And I played it like that, you know, as a backup to those two. Well, who knew that this guy might even be, you know, the one B to the T.Y. Hilton 1A in this offense through 2 weeks.
The targets look real good for Moncrief through 2 weeks. He is a player who, like you said, is going to win people some championships this year because he has been getting it done, and I think he'll get it done again this week.
I think so, Corey. I mean, even if you don't have those guys and you were just an owner that grabbed Moncrief as your wide receiver six or something, well, now you could put this guy safely in your starting lineup every week going forward. And when you look back, you know, at the end of the season, and this guy's putting up wide receiver two or three numbers in your lineup, and you got him in your 13th, 15th rounds or whatever. These are the guys that pay off and win your leagues for you right here, especially as bad as Andre Johnson has looked through the first 2 weeks with how slow and old he's looked. Maybe this offense is going to be based around Hilton and Moncrief going forward.
No doubt, and I think that could be the case. Let's see if Johnson gets it going this week. The matchup is plus-plus. Everybody's off of Andre Johnson, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Oakland is in Cleveland to take on the Browns. Foolishness. We won't have Johnny Manziel to root for. Won't have him to put in our DFS lineup this week. Won't have him to add on the waiver wire, even though a dollar is worth it for Manziel because we know what Josh McCown is. But I tell you what, the Travis Benjamin story is starting to catch a little flame. And, we're starting to see some Duke Johnson action. How about that?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, we expected Duke Johnson to eventually take over the job. Right now he's in pretty much a 50-50 split with Crowell. So I don't know who's going to wind up taking the lead. I would guess Duke Johnson. I like what I see out of him. But as for now, it's a 50-50. What that does for the owners of those two running backs, if you play both of them, if you just pick and choose one of them or sit both of them, that's a tough choice. I don't know what would you lean towards doing, Corey, right about now if you were an owner?
Hoping I have somebody else who I can depend on.
Yeah.
Really what it boils down to. But that's a headache on a Sunday morning / Saturday night that you do not want to have to deal with. And trust me, I have a team where I have Isaiah Crowell, but you know what? He moved right into my bench this week, and Matt Jones was in my starting lineup.
Oh, yeah. No, you got it. Matt Jones is a player now, and Matt Jones should be in everyone's starting lineup this week going forward, especially with a juicy matchup against my Giants defense.
Your Giants defense, but I think the contrarian play for DFS this week, not to go back to that contest, is if you want to play on the Thursday contest, the contrarian play is Alfred Morris because this could be Alfred Morris's week. That's what that run game has looked like, and that's what it looked like, especially when you're talking about the New York Giants. Travis Benjamin is another name that people are going to be going crazy for tonight. You in on Travis Benjamin, or you think this is Kevin Ogletree?
I don't know if he's Ogletree, but when we're making these decisions, you don't have, you know, an extra week to take a look at him. You know, that's the business that we're in, Corey. You don't get let me see if he's for real. You know, if anybody does something in 1 week, he's gone that week in free agency, you know. So, he's going to be the hot name. He's going to be a hot name tonight and this week in free agency, along with Rashad Matthews of the Dolphins and Aaron Dobson of the Patriots. I think those are the three guys that I see available on the waiver wire that everyone's going to be going crazy over. I would rank Benjamin third out of those three. I just think there's too many mouths to feed there. He's a speed guy. I just can't see him being more than, you know, one of those guys that maybe catches two or three balls every week. And you got to hope for that long bomb touchdown every week. I don't think he's more than that. I'll be staying away from him tonight.
No doubt. And this quarterback situation is not improved with the loss of Manziel.
Why? You got your first round draft pick last year. He's in his second year now. He's coming off of a good game. He's showing a little promise. He moved the offense. So you want to go back to the old veteran that did nothing with the team? I understand some coaches are like, hey, I don't, you know, you can't lose the job with an injury, but I mean,
how 1970s is that? You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
You would think it's time to energize the fan base even. Like, you think the fans are getting pumped up going to the games to go see McCown back in the center? Or
I can imagine what sports talk radio in Cleveland is like right now with this horrible decision to take Johnny Manziel out the game, Johnny Football. But I'm almost certain you put a dollar on him, he'll have another opportunity at some point this season, and he could end up being your savior, especially if you're going through these quarterback issues.
Absolutely.
The Oakland Raiders, I think so far we've seen what we wanted to see from Murray. We're seeing some flash from Cooper. Derek Carr is in that quarterback mix, but Derek Carr's in that mix, but I don't think we're talking about Derek Carr next week, put it like that. But the player that's intriguing, I want to know if you think he's a starter in a 12-team league. Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, I knew you were going there, Corey.
And you know, I despise Michael Crabtree.
I seeing that stat line this past Sunday made me cringe just because of how burned I got by Michael Crabtree last year, you know?
I had Michael Crabtree everywhere last year.
Me too. I was in on Crabtree, and who knows? Maybe this guy, you know, he's in a contract year. He's playing for his money, and you see
for his NFL livelihood. He's playing to get out of Oakland.
That too, and he hasn't gotten paid, you know. Well, obviously his rookie contract, he got paid, you know. But when you got 1 foot out the door in the NFL, that'll make you, you know, step up and play big time. Everyone's always talked about the talent there and everything like that. But as of now, Corey, I think he is. I think he could be a nice flex play. You know, I like to look at situations and say, does everything fit? You know, like, you have a terrible Oakland defense, so they're going to be having to throw a ton in this, you know, this year. Oakland's D and the secondary is bad. You know, just like, look at last week's game. It's a perfect example. Back and forth, neither team could stop each other. He's the number two. He's always on the field. Thing really other in the pass game, other than Cooper, they don't have like a solid number three receiver or a really good tight end. So every time Carr's throwing, it's really to Cooper or to Crabtree, and he just might get volume and produce based on volume. So I think he might be a decent flex play going forward.
No, and the sad part about it is I have to agree with you too, and I wish he wouldn't have did this to me because I have him nowhere this year because I broke up with him after what he did to me last season. But you know what? It is what it is. It is what it is. This guy is, I mean, he's a player this year, and if you have him on your team, I definitely think it's safe to flex him. So, and then this week he might even be an under-the-radar contrarian-type DFS play because I think the game will be a little bit more high-scoring than some expect. Here's your boy Andy Dalton. So here we go with Andy Dalton and the Ravens. I want to talk about this situation with Baltimore. Baltimore has no weapons. No weapons.
Right.
Justin Forsett is not – if I had to take Forsett, I would have taken him in the right spot. The right spot for me would have been the middle to the late third round after I got two big wide receivers.
Okay.
I'm glad I don't have him nowhere because this is stressing the system. It's that offense and everything, but something doesn't look right with Forsett. Flacco, who is on the waiver wires, but who really wants to sign a guy that is number one target is Steve Smith, and his number two guy is Crockett Gilmore.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that offense, and it's just like, oh, my God, poor. You know, maybe, you know, in other years you could use Flacco, but, you know, you look at his weapons, and it's like, oh, man, I don't even want to go near that situation. And I don't have any shares in the Baltimore offense this year. That was one thing, you know, one of the teams I was avoiding. You talked about Justin Forsett, and not only him, you know, not to jump off this game, Corey, but, you know, while we're on the topic of Forsett, look at all these other running backs that were second-round running backs, you know, in their situations. It's not only Forsett that's struggling through 2 weeks. Look at all the other guys that got drafted right there. This is the second round was where running backs went to die so far. C.J. Anderson, DeMarco Murray, McCoy's not doing much. Jeremy
Hill.
The fumbles
killed Jeremy Hill last week.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys are, you know, through 2 weeks, it's like, whoa, you know, did we make the wrong decisions? But that's a whole nother topic to discuss. As for this game, though, Corey, you know, you got a 2-0 Bengals team traveling into an 0-2 Ravens team. The Ravens are 3-point favorites. That's all I need to know right there. It should be a Ravens day. Somehow, some way, Flacco could probably put up some decent numbers. It'd be interesting to see if this kid Crockett Gilmore is maybe the slight, you know, a tight end sleeper this year. Another situation that it might be by default that Crockett Gilmore becomes a fantasy relevant player every week. And, you know, as we're talking about Crockett Gilmore, it reminds me of last year's Giants early in the year with Larry Donnell. You know?
No doubt. That's the situation we saw arrive last year. And this is another time Mark Trestman uses his tight end. And it's there. And we've heard whispers, even when they drafted Max Williams, that Crockett Gilmore was going to be a part of this offense. Remember hearing some whispers about that in training camp. And I think through last week, we did see, and like you said, they have nobody else.
Yeah. Kamar Aiken had a decent game last week. Who knows when the kid Perriman's going to be back around. But they can't keep relying on Steve Smith every week. You know, the guy's 36 years old. Two guys is going to be fantasy relevant for the next month between Kamar Aiken or Crockett Gilmore, or who knows, maybe both. So, but I'll tell you one thing. If you're a Justin Forsett owner, I'd be a little worried right now because Tommy Farrell played 31 snaps he played last week, and this was an offense where people were drafting Justin Forsett because what'd they say? Listen, Trestman's there. He's going to catch a ton of balls, and there's nobody else that can, you know, nobody else to mess with his carries or anything. There's no decent backup. Well, now all of a sudden, Telly Farrell comes back. Week two looks pretty good and gets 31 snaps. That's not a good recipe for Justin Forsett.
No doubt, and the Tyler Farrell situation is something I would keep an eye on as we head to the waiver wire in a few hours from now. If you're an A.J. Green owner, are you scared about Tyler Eifert's workload?
No, I love it, actually. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Okay.
I love it, yes. I wanted, you know, someone else. That was my tight end that I was targeting this year, Corey, was Tyler Eifert. I was lucky enough to get him in some teams. Through 2 weeks, it's looking great. But, you know, someone needed to step up to take the attention completely away from A.J. Green. And whether it was Marvin Jones or Eifert, and Marvin Jones even had a pretty good game last week. This offense is really good right now. Obviously, Jeremy Hill, we just said, had the bad game. And Gio even looks good now. You know, maybe it's a 60-40 type, you know, timeshare there.
I think it's enough. I think the offense really has enough to support all of these pieces.
It really does. And I think people are going to get a nice real steal in Gio Bernard this year. And, you know, it's funny, Corey, not to jump, you know, I know I'm jumping all around, but, you know, these are the guys that are valuable through 2 weeks, these Gio Bernards, Danny Woodheads, the PPR running back. These guys are getting
it done. The PPR running back.
Yeah, these PPR running backs that were going in that 8 to 11 round range, these are the guys that, you know, if you have them, it's like, wow, you know, the big-time running backs aren't getting it done right now, but the PPR backs are. So, you know, whether that continues or not, but I, you know, I have shares of Gio and Danny Woodhead, and, you know, so far through 2 weeks, these guys are locked in as my RB2s, and I'm loving it, you know.
No doubt.
So,
another guy to put in that. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
No, I'm sorry. No, just to finish up, that Bengals offense I think will be a really – really top unit this year, a top five offense with Eifert staying healthy. Hopefully you got a monster in AJ Green and Marvin Jones on the other side. They got it all. I mean, they have a great top five offensive line. Obviously their Achilles heel, Corey, is Dalton, but Dalton looks good for the first 2 weeks. So let's see. But I would be buying shares of the Cincinnati offense.
No doubt, I agree with you on that one. And I tell you what, you look at their matchup this week going into Baltimore to take on the Ravens. We want to see what they're about because this is a spot where they normally don't do well in. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to New England, a spot where really not too many people have done well in the past decade. New England has a thing humming right now. The Brady, the Edelman, the Gronk, the whole thing. It's the real deal. What do you think about Deion Lewis?
I think he's fantasy relevant. That's another one. I'm sorry. Let's throw Deion Lewis into that Gio Bernard, Danny Woodhead, Vereen, little circle there. These are the running backs that are getting it done. And Deion Lewis, I mean, hey, Bill Belichick pulling his stunts again. LeGarrette Blount might be, you know, second fiddle now with Deion Lewis around. You know what was telling to me, Corey, was I'm watching the game last week. Deion Lewis fumbles, and I'm like, there goes Deion Lewis's career. It's done. See you in, like, another 2 months, you know? Corey, you're laughing, but you know it's true. You know, I'm like, oh, man, a young running back for the Patriots. Fumbles, they, you know, Bills recover. That's it. He's done for the day at least. He went right back in. Next series, without hesitation, Deion Lewis was back in there, getting the ball relentlessly. That tells me something. And
a sign of trust coming from Belichick offense.
Yeah, I think he stays fantasy relevant this year. You know, the Patriots are the fantasy winners the first 2 weeks by far, all of them.
No
Edelman, Gronkowski, Brady, look at Deion Lewis. Those are the guys that are 2-0 right now, Corey.
No doubt. If you got the Patriots, you are doing well in your fantasy leagues right now, especially if you were able to get Tom Brady when everybody thought he was going to miss the first four games of the season. You are really take advantage of a poor situation and turned it into a good one, and that's what fantasy is about. We talked about how much we like our guy, Blake Bortles, and you want to touch on Aaron Dobson?
All I'll say is he played 86% of last week's snaps. Everybody's been waiting for this guy to come along now, and he just might be that outside threat that the Patriots need. You know, you got Gronkowski eating up the middle of the field with Edelman. There's nobody that's really going deep. You know, Danny Amendola is pretty much the same guy as Edelman. Who knows? You know, he got targeted a ton. Caught all his targets, 7 balls for 87 yards, I think it was last week. This might be he might be a big part of the offense coming out, but we've said that before for the last 2 years, you know. So who knows?
No doubt, he's a player that I had on my early teams last season. I was drafting him a lot, but he was struggling with the foot and stuff like that. And then look at him in that role. Jacksonville Jaguars offense. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Cole. Let's just back it up on Dobson. You're at the waiver wire tonight. What do you think a Dobson goes for tonight in waivers? What price range would you be throwing out for him if you needed a receiver and you're in, you know, some fantasy owners that are listening to our show's situation?
I think that if you need a receiver, do you need him to start for you? Or is he going to be in the mix going throughout the course of the season?
He'll be in flex consideration with the upside of maybe being a wide receiver 3 on your team, or maybe even a 2 if Brady's going to give him 7 catches every game. We don't know. Here's the interesting thing with Dobson, Corey, tonight in waivers. You don't know how long LaFell is coming back. LaFell can come off eligibility in week 7. If that's the case and he comes back and he's 100% healthy, now the Dobson owners that go in on him tonight, that takes a big hit. But if LaFell never comes back and in week 7 comes and he's eligible and Patriots haven't said a thing about LaFell all preseason and everything, and he's out, his knee surgery, he's out, or he's out till week 12 or whatever, this kid Dobson could be a waiver wire steal.
Yes, no doubt, and I agree with you on that. And what I'm thinking about Dobson for tonight purposes is I would go 10 to 15% of the budget right now. So you can take that number how you want it, 10 to 15% of the budget, regardless of what you need to do with him, where it's at. You think he goes for more than that?
You know what, Corey? After week 1 and seeing the crazy prices that people threw out. Oh, my God. Corey, James Jones. I didn't know James Jones was Jerry Rice. I mean, the second coming of Jerry Rice. Corey, $700 to $800 bids all across the board in all high stakes leagues. I'm seeing the cheapest I saw him go for was like $550. And I'm like,
I saw some three
and
changes,
one.
But I saw as much as $890 for James Jones.
We have 13 or 14 weeks of this, and people blowing 75% of their fab budget. You know, it's James Jones better keep scoring touchdowns, Corey. That's a lot.
No doubt about it, especially the Dez Bryant owners probably went in real heavy on Jones last week. When we talk about the Jaguars, I tell you, the passing game for Jacksonville is still interesting to me, and especially this week, I think they got to go in there and run with the Patriots, and I think the Patriots secondary is like, okay, well, we can't stop them. I think Jacksonville is calm enough for them offensively. It's not going to be 42-14. I think they can run with them, and I think you can see nice numbers this week from Bortles and Hearns and Robinson.
Allen Robinson really, you know, gave all his fantasy owners a nice, you know, breath of fresh air last week coming off of his week one bomb where he caught one ball for 25 yards. I know this because I'm an Allen Robinson owner. But last week was unbelievable. I was like, wow, this guy's a legit wide receiver too, you know, in fantasy this year. And, you know, we talked about it before. Bortles took a big step this year. He's going to be able to get him the ball. Could be a nice combo throughout the year. You know, hopefully this week, you got to figure with the game flow. It could be the same thing. The Pats are going to probably be winning this game, you know, comfortably. And, you know, garbage time counts in fantasy. So, you know, if the Patriots win a 38-24 type game, that's, you know, a nice amount of numbers for hopefully an Allen Robinson, Allen Hearns, and whoever.
Agree with you 100% on that. In the same situation, catch me up to speed, Chris. What's the latest on Spiller and Breeze?
The Drew Breeze info is all over the place right now. Earlier in the week, Corey, there was the report that Drew Breeze was going to miss, you know, a significant amount of time with a shoulder injury. Then it got followed up that next day with it's not as bad as, you know, everybody thought. He's dealing with if I had a guess and read him between the lines without them obviously telling, it's called a bruised shoulder, they're saying. He's probably got a sprained shoulder, and it's tough for him to throw. He's not going to be out long. Drew Brees today actually said he's planning on playing Sunday. But what that would tell me is, and he said this after last Sunday's game, that it affected him on deep throws. So, it's a sprained shoulder because he can't throw deep. Everyone's being affected. This offense is a mess, Corey. That was an unbelievable upset, early season upset. Everybody, you know, loaded up on Saints, me included, at home, in the dome, versus Tampa's weak defense. Everybody thought Breeze and Brandon Cooks would put up huge numbers. It fizzled out big time. This team's in trouble. I am so glad I don't have any Brandon Cooks shares. I'd be worried. As a second-round wide receiver pick, he could be a major bust this year through 2 weeks that I could see going forward. Can't trust really anybody in this offense right now. Obviously, you're going to start Ingram. The Saints, Corey, might be in a somewhat similar situation as the Cowboys. They're going to have to rely on their offensive line that they invested in this offseason with Ingram and Spiller behind it, while Breeze heals, because they don't have much in the passing game, Corey.
Doesn't look good right now. And trust me, as a player, somebody who owns Brandon Cooks in a couple of leagues I really care about, it's not nice to see that those numbers that he's been putting up the last couple of weeks. But I tell you what, you look over the other side of the ball, their opponent this week, they're at Carolina to take on the Panthers. And I really don't think it's no burden too big for the shoulders of Cam Newton, because once again, we're seeing a situation where Cam Newton has no weapons, but Cam Newton is the ultimate weapon, and it looks like he's getting ready to put the Carolina Panthers on his back, and he has a juicy matchup this week.
Yeah, he sure does. And, you know, I was just thinking about it. Like, you know, we were high on Cam. I know me and you were high on Cam Newton, you know, in the middle of the summer leading into the fantasy season. I remember us having a discussion about, hey, is Cam Newton's a top five fantasy quarterback this year? And once Benjamin went down, it was like, you know, everybody jumped off board. You stuck with him. I know, Corey, you stuck with him. You saw the value in him. But if Kelvin Benjamin stayed healthy, this guy is proving that. I bet he would have been a top four quarterback. You know, he would have been the real deal. But without him, you know, hey, he's still valuable. He's still putting up numbers. He's got a great matchup this week. I think he's got to get Greg Olsen going, though. You know, he's got to get
Greg Olsen.
That's
very important. That is, like we said, coming into the season, Greg Olsen is the most important piece in that offense. He needs to get Olsen in the end zone. But see, if you're a Cam owner, you're like, I don't care if he doesn't get Olsen in the end zone. I want Cam to flip over the defender and land on his feet like he did last week.
That was an unbelievable play. Yeah, that's an unbelievable play. I would have to believe that defenses going in are saying, hey, none of these receivers scare us. Let's just take away Olsen. That's why I was scared off of Olsen. It's easy to say, hey, listen, There's no receivers there. Greg Olsen's their best weapon. Let's go all in on Olsen. But this is the NFL. Other teams look at the same situation and go, okay, let's focus on Greg Olsen, take him out of the game. And, you know, if Ted Ginn wants to beat us or Philly Brown wants to beat us, so be it. But, you know, that's a little scary for Greg Olsen owners. But he'll have his weeks, I'm sure, where, you know, he gets open and he eats. But not through 2 weeks, really. You know, it hasn't happened. And John Stewart's got to get going, too.
He was 6-70. You're right. J.C. does have to get going. Let me tell you what. As a guy looking at Cameron on his chain on a lot of my benches, J.C. has to get open or, you know, I hate to say tweak that hamstring. You know what I mean? But we need somebody to get in there and give us some fantasy production.
Corey, am I right? I mean, I don't know if you know this right off top, but I think one of the things that surprised me last week was Cameron Artis Payne a healthy scratch last week.
I believe he might have been.
I think he was. I remember looking at the inactives early, and I was like, whoa, that's not a good sign. So, you know, they're rolling with Tolbert as the second guy up behind Stewart. Stewart's getting the volume. That's why I drafted Stewart. I mean, the talent, yeah, it's there. The situation looks great, but, you know, he's just getting fed. He's getting the carries. He's getting the lion's share. So you got to hope that Stewart turns the volume into some big games coming up now. Hopefully this weekend he starts getting going versus the Saints. But, you know, everyone's wondering who's the receiver going to be in this offense. And, you know, some people are on Ted Ginn. I'm a Philly Brown type of guy, Corey. I think that this guy could be a nice wide receiver four, nice little flex play. Scored, last week, got in the end zone, 60 yards receiving. I think he could be one of these five catch, 60 yards a week type of wide receiver for them just based on default. They really got nothing there that's getting on the field.
No, and you're right about that. And we know what Ted Ginn is. Ted Ginn is a dangerous play, but Ted Ginn also gives you a little bit of action on special teams. So, but no, I agree. Both of the guys are worth a dollar. You know what I mean? Nothing real spectacular about them. That thing is Carolina. That's Jay Stu. That's Cam Newton, and that's Greg Olsen.
Yep.
The Philadelphia Eagles look horrendous.
Jesus.
Chip Kelly, even the last time the Philadelphia Eagles looked good was on Thanksgiving versus Dallas. LeSean McCoy had a humongous game that day, and LeSean McCoy is no longer on the team.
That offense looked unstoppable that day on Thanksgiving, I remember. I was like, I'm still shaking my head from Sunday, his game versus the Cowboys. I really expected Philly to scoreboard. Versus Dallas, I was waiting for a 40 burger, versus Dallas, that game in Dallas, especially after the second half they had in week one versus Atlanta, where they just went up and down the field. And I was like, all right, everyone got, you know, that first half out of their system, and everyone was moving, you know, looking great. And man, oh man, there's been some real big surprises through these first 2 weeks. that had to be at the top of the list for me. And I'm worried as a Sam Bradford owner going forward. I think this team's in real trouble again this week up against a Jets defense that plays completely not into the Eagles' hands in every form. And, you know, Revis should be on Matthews all game long. Take him out of the situation. The offensive line can't give any time for DeMarco Murray to run. D-line is dominating right now, is the best in football. Murray can't run on the Cowboys. How is he going to run on the Jets? And then what's funny about all this is DeMarco Murray comes up with a hamstring injury today in practice. You think there's any chance that he looked at the schedule and was like, I don't want any part of that?
I'm not trying to get my yards per carry even lower than what they are right now, which is less than one, which is pitiful.
Yeah. I mean, he might say, hey, listen, I'll see you guys the following week. I'm going to take the week off. But it's a mess right now, Corey, and I'm just worried that, you know, I think Bradford's going to look terrible again this week, and I don't know if Chip Kelly's going to, you know, stick with him going forward. And if you're one of these guys that went all in on Bradford and he was the quarterback that was flying up the draft board, people were taking him as a top five quarterback overall off the board, you know, late in the drafting season, he was the hottest player. You might not have your starting quarterback. He might be on the bench, you know, after next week.
And it might make sense to put a dollar on Mark Sanchez at that time. The team that Mark Sanchez used to play for, the New York Jets, like you said, that defense gets to Philadelphia this week. Got to like the Jets. But on the offensive side of the football, sneaky GPP stat, Brandon Marshall and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or is that even sneaky? Or is that a, like, dude, that's a good stack this week?
It is a good stack. These two have great chemistry. They talked about it after the game on Monday night, the chemistry that they have. It's a veteran quarterback and a veteran receiver. They're on the same page. I would have loved it more if Decker was healthy and playing. I think when you get in these situations where, you know, the compliment on the other side isn't fair and the Jets really have no other wide receiver to talk
nobody
about.
Nobody even gets targets except Bilal Powell.
Nobody. It's that's why I love that offense. I was all in on Decker. You know, it's just Marshall and Decker in the pass game. They sprinkle in a couple other catches to a couple other no-names. But now, I mean, the Eagles defense is going to have to, you know, focus in on Brandon Marshall. I mean, it might be a big Chris Ivory game. If he's healthy and ready to go on Sunday, maybe that's the way to go. But, I mean, you would have to think that the Eagles are like, hey, Marshall's the only one that can hurt us in the pass game. Let's wipe him out. And, you know, that could go one of two ways, obviously, Corey.
No doubt, and I agree with what you're saying. But, you know, you look at some of the players in the Philadelphia Eagles secondary, those dudes get lit up too. So, like you said, it could go either way. I don't know if it's worth it. It could be sneaky contrarian play, but the target should be there. But Philadelphia probably will game plan to take him away from the situation.
You know what? Marshall was one of those guys in those mid rounds, that fourth, fifth round, so far through 2 weeks, that looks like he's going to be a draft day bargain. You know, it looks like he's going to be a legit wide receiver fantasy two by far, and maybe even one. You know, like he looks like he hasn't missed a beat. He's getting targeted like crazy. He's just one of those guys that I wish I got my hands on in the draft season, because he's going to work out nice in that Jets offense week in and week out.
I think Chris Ivory is another player that once he gets it rolling and gets past some of these little nagging injuries, that owners are going to be happy they got their hands on, especially in Chan Gailey's system. Up next, we're going to talk about a lot of 1 o'clock games this week. We're going to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know. Me too. That's tough.
I know we're bouncing all over the place, but while we're talking, don't you hate when they have a 10 or 11 1 o'clock games and 2 or 3 4 o'clock games? Like
It's 3 4 o'clock games this week, and none of them are really all that of any mass appeal, except for the Bears and the Seahawks, which is really the Bills and the Dolphins if you're an AFC guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to watch Seahawks, Bears. I mean, that's what I'm going to have to watch. I got there's eight games I want to watch at 1 o'clock and, like, none at 4. I mean, they should get it to, like, where it's 8 1 o'clock games at the most and 4 or 5 at 4 o'clock. It spreads – it makes you feel like there's a complete 10-hour day of football. Whatever. That's another rant for another time, I guess.
No, I agree with you, though. It does make 4 o'clock a good nap time as you wake up every now and then to check your scores. But the Buccaneers are in Houston, like we said, another 1 o'clock start. Oh, man. I want to start with Houston because I got to adjust some waiver moves because, like I said, I was getting ready to cut Nate Washington tonight. Now with the Hopkins concussion news, I'm start Nate Washington this week. This is what fantasy football has become so far in 2015. What's the latest on Arian Foster, though?
Oh, my God. The update on Arian Foster is I'm dying with every news report on him, Corey. That's the update. But he's not going to play again this week, and it's crazy. He practiced last week leading into into last week's game. So all of us Arian Foster owners that are holding a ton of shares on him and waiting, you know, like it's Christmas morning for Santa, waiting for him to come back, and he's coming back to the best matchup, you know, that we could possibly hope for, you know, home versus Tampa. He practiced last week going into last week's game. You would think he's definitely coming back this week, but – you know, the reports now are saying that he's going to be another week. So, I mean, and he practiced today. That's the thing. If he practiced last week and he practiced today and Bill O'Brien, the Texans coach, says he looks unbelievable, looks great. Foster himself has said he looks feels great, 100%, nothing holding him back. Like, I mean, time to take the, you know, the cover off the car here and let him go, I would think. But they're being very, you know, very cautious with him. I think he sits out this week again, and I think next Sunday is the target, you know, for him to return.
Yep, let's continue to play the Arian Foster waiting game. Now we got to wait and sweat it out the latest with DeAndre Hopkins. So, of course, if you had to start one of these guys this week, Nate Washington or Cecil Shorts, who would it be?
Well, Cecil Shorts has gotten consecutive games both weeks of 10 targets. Nate Washington obviously had the better numbers to show for it. You know what, Corey? I hate to say this, but if DeAndre Hopkins is out, I think you've got to start either one of those two guys. I mean, this team's a mess in the run game. They don't have a tight end to talk about. This could be a Nate Washington and Cecil Shorts. 7-8 catch each game.
This is fantasy football in 2015 for week 3. That Nate Washington Cecil Shorts stack is in action.
Can you believe this? It's crazy. It's crazy.
On the other side of the football, go ahead, Chris.
No, I'm just saying, you go into the year and you're saying, hey, the Texans offense is all about Arian Foster and DeAndre Hopkins, and in week 3, neither one of them are there. I mean, it's
all about Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington. So, tough season, tough start to this season. On the other side of the ball, the Buccaneers, though, interesting, get that big win versus the Saints last week, knocked a lot of people out of their eliminator pools. Now, the same Bucs team that lost also to Ferry and Jenkins this week, we seen Mike Evans with the donut last week. Of course, we think, you know, no pinch count on Evans this week, full go, full swing. And I guess that he would be the beneficiary of more targets. The targets, period. Is Vincent Jackson still a guy that you think is in that wide receiver 2 range?
A wide receiver 2, more like a 3, Corey. Mm-hmm. But I think he could be now a wide receiver 2. And a Mike Evans, a legit wide receiver 1 if he's 100% healthy, especially with no Austin Seferian Jenkins around now for the next 6 weeks. Another team where there's nothing else to talk about other than the big 2 receivers. Mix in a defense that stinks, and you're talking about a lot of passing, a lot of games where they're going to have to be playing from behind. Going forward, I would love to have some shares of Evans and Vincent Jackson.
What do you think about Charles Sims? I didn't get a chance to check it out on Football Outsiders. What's his snap count recently?
Yeah, I mean, he played more than Doug Martin in week 1.
I know that.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to meet two of them.
There's really nothing going on with either one of these two guys.
Because of the game script. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not high on Martin or Charles Sims. I think it's a terrible matchup this week for them going into Houston, an 0-2 Houston team. With a weak Tampa Bay offensive line going against J.J. Watt and Vince Wilfork in the middle, I wouldn't be high on starting any of your Buccaneers this week. I think the Texans are going to get their first win and dominate defensively. I think Winston's in for a long day, and that goes along with everyone else, and Doug Martin and Charles Sims. So not the week to play them in daily, and not the week to own them in season-long.
The Chargers are in Minnesota to take on the Vikings. The game script on this one, Chris, is kind of funny to me. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I just want to talk about how great Danny Woodhead is and how Danny Woodhead, as long as he is healthy and playing 16 games, is a name that fantasy owners can trust. Pass catching running back who they give the ball to on the goal line. Where did he come from?
My dreams, Corey. He's a dream, and he really is. It's everything you want in a fantasy running back. And the best part about it is Phillip Rivers is the king of the check down. And when he checks down, it's Danny Woodhead 9 out of 10 times. So, and then you get inside the 5-yard line. We talked about this before. And you expect to see a big back in there, but it's Danny Woodhead again. So what role doesn't this guy play? I mean, at some point, you know, my friend said to me this morning, we were talking about Danny Woodhead. And he laughed and he goes, you know, I'm thinking about it. He goes, am I crazy to say at the end of the year Danny Woodhead is a top 10 running back? And I'm like, No, it's not. I mean, I think Danny Woodhead has the potential to be a top 10 fantasy running back this year. So, I mean, that's how valuable he is. This guy could catch 75 balls out of the backfield and then still get touchdowns. I guess I've
PPR dream. Danny Woodhead is a PPR dream. Phil Rivers, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I guess I've talked about enough about Danny Woodhead. How much I love him.
We love Danny Woodhead on the takeover. Phil Rivers, another guy we love. What's up? What's up, Chris?
What
Keenan
happened
Allen?
What happened to Keenan Allen? Week two.
Disappeared last week. I think it might have been the coverage.
Might have been. I mean, Xavier. Well, he's got Xavier Rhodes this week, but I mean, hey, that was a hard crash to reality. You know, Keenan Allen owners after week one, me included. I have him on a couple teams. I was saying, oh my God, is this guy the Keenan Allen of his rookie year, where he's going to be an absolute wide receiver one stud? And then in week two, it was like, all right, let me temper my expectations. If I had to guess, Corey, he's obviously not going to be week one Keenan Woodhead, Keenan Allen. Not going to be week two Keenan Allen. He's going to be somewhere in the middle. I still see you know, a good outlook for him in this offense because, you know, who else is Phillip Rivers really going to throw the ball to besides him and Stevie Johnson and Danny Woodhead out of the backfield?
How do you see this game script going with the Chargers and the Vikings in Minnesota?
You know what, Corey? I'd be guessing if...
me too. That's why I asked you.
It's a good question. It's probably going to be one of those 24-20 type games, I would say, right, you know, there. I don't see it being, you know, one of these 38-35 shootouts. I don't see it being a defensive struggle. I'm just hoping that Bridgewater continues to, you know, start throwing a little more. But, you know, this could be an Adrian Peterson game, and they're feeding him relentlessly. I don't know, Corey. I really don't. I really, really don't know what
I
to
think
expect
it could be.
This.
I asked because I think it could be an interesting game for DFS. But by the same token, it could be nothing there whatsoever, period. Because I don't know if I really want to pay that high price for Adrian Peterson.
Would you go for a real contrarian play while everyone's jumping off the Charles Johnson ship and use him this week and maybe he comes alive with, you know, we've seen a crazy first 2 weeks of football and everyone doesn't want any part of Charles Johnson. he comes back with an 8-catch, 130-yard, 2-touchdown game?
I mean, I'm gonna have to put $20 on him somewhere just because I'm about a half hour from cutting Charles Johnson in a couple leagues because I believe, you know what I mean? Because you say, okay, there's no reason to cut him, just put him on your bench. When you say that about a player, you don't put him on your bench. You end up putting him in your lineup every week.
Yeah, you look at him all week long, and then he finds a way into your lineup, and then on Sunday night you're cursing him again. I got
there you.
But I want to throw something out to you. Let it be a reminder. The Roddy White of last year could be Charles Johnson, where the first 4 or 5 weeks of the year, everyone wants to cut him. He's doing nothing. Could be useless. And then second half of the season, he's catching 6-7 balls every week and getting in the end zone. Could be
this
Charles
Johnson.
This is
still a North Turner offense. This is still a North Turner offense, and we all know how fantasy-friendly North Turner offenses can be. So he's holding on to that bit of hope. And I think this game script looks – this is a guess. San Diego going in there – because San Diego can – they can go up and down the field with you. And I think Bridgeport and these guys may have to get off of AP a little bit and go up and down the field with them a little bit also. So that's why I'm kind of feeling – it could go either way with this one. But I would, like I said, I'll put him in a tournament somewhere just to see what happens. But for the most part, I'm not really dependent on Charles Johnson. I'm just this team is going to run the football. And North Turner, I think, would allow Bridgeport to take the training wheels off a little bit more this season. But so far, he hasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't cut him yet, though, Corey. I would, let him get into a rhythm, and once he starts getting going, then you could take him from the bench and put him back in your lineup. But it's gonna hurt when he has that big game, and he's sitting on your bench.
He's playing for my opponent. The Pittsburgh Steelers get Le'Veon Bell back this weekend if they go to St. Louis to take on the Rams. It's a lot. Pittsburgh's offense is a lot right now. It's a lot. And they can handle, they have enough for Le'Veon Bell. They have enough for Antonio Brown. And when Martavius Bryant gets back, they're going to have enough for him also. Roethlisberger is throwing the ball 45, 50 times a game. This is the fantasy offense we thought it would be.
Yeah, and you hit it right on the head, Corey. Le'Veon Bell back this week. Martavius Bryant coming right behind him in another two. This is going to be an unbelievable offense. They picked up right where they left off, even without these two guys last week looking unbelievable. You can't say enough about Antonio Brown. He's a lock. He's a lock. He's the most dependent. He's the most given. He's a given every week is what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say, Corey.
No, he's very consistent, very dependable fantasy asset. His price can hit up to $9,000 on DraftKings. You're like, okay, I got to figure out a way to work the other $41,000 around Antonio Brown.
Do you see this as a little bit of a worry game, though, Corey?
This is a trap game. This is a classic trap game. The
Bills
performance last week. Remember, San Fran played on Monday night, flew cross country for a 1 o'clock start. Home in Pittsburgh, here we go, Steelers, here we go, and Pittsburgh do what they're supposed to do. Now you get Pittsburgh going into St. Louis team that really dropped the stinker on the road against D.C. last week. And you're right. This is a classic trap game for Pittsburgh.
I would be, not shocked, but everyone is excited. All the Le'Veon Bell owners across the world are excited to have him back this week. Don't be too surprised if he struggles this Sunday. And I'll tell you why. You just saw it on Monday night, a dominant defensive line against a banged-up offensive line causes a world of trouble for the quarterback and running back. And that's what I think you're looking at here. Don't forget the Steelers don't have Pouncey in the middle. And if you're not going to talk about the Jets D-line, then the Rams are the next best unit on the D-line. And at home in the Dome, they'll be up and ready for the Steelers offense and that crowd. I don't think it's going to be a field day for that Steelers offense. There's better days ahead for them after this week, but I could see the Steelers being a little this week. That's all I'll say.
What about the Rams in this situation? You know what? I keep every time I look at this game, I keep thinking, wow, this might be a Trey Mason game.
It could be, but you know what, Corey? We're going to see Todd Gurley, I think, this Sunday. He's ready to go.
He's active this week.
Yes. Matter of fact, the news earlier today was for the first time Todd Gurley wasn't even on the injury report this week. So he's not even on the Wednesday injury report. He's got to be playing. I don't know how much, but you know, they're gonna give him some carries and get his feet wet in the NFL. He could eat up that Steelers defense. I'm predicting a little upset this week. I think the Rams beat the Steelers, and you know, a sneaky DFS play this week. He's in a bunch of my lineups, and I guess I'm giving it out to everybody who's listening. But Jared Cook could be a nice cheap tight end versus the Steelers defense this week. You saw the Steelers stink against the tight ends, and Jared Cook at home could be a nice little play.
No, not as something I also looked at this week. I think it's some action in that Rams team, and I kind of feel with you the same way about this game. You know, it's easy. Don't get me wrong, the Steelers could still get theirs fantasy-wise, but the Rams could pick them off this week. I don't have the 49ers picking off the Cardinals, though. The Cardinals, listen, Carson Palmer is a player I do not fool with because the injuries. But you know what? I fooled with him in a daily contest, and I did last week and did all right in some spots. Good to see the rebirth of Larry Gerald last week, a player who I thought was just absolutely washed up. He comes out strong last week. Everybody's on Josh Brown. Fitzgerald gets it done. But the guy I want to talk about, the guy I want to ask you about, Chris, is David Johnson. Is David Johnson a starter in the 12-team league this week?
A starter? I think if you're – and a lot of teams are banged up at running back, and there's not a lot of good ones to begin with. I think you could put David Johnson in as your RB2, as a low-end RB2. Or as your flex. I have no clue why Bruce Arians just hasn't made this guy the full-time running back and forgotten about Chris Johnson while Ellington is on the shelf, because David Johnson is in another, you know, level than Chris Johnson. So they got to stop messing with Chris Johnson. Yeah, they got to stop messing with Chris Johnson and give David Johnson all the carries while Ellington is out. So if they do that, then yeah, David Johnson could put up a nice week this week. But you just hit it on the head, man. The rebirth of Larry Fitzgerald, and right through the first 2 weeks of the season, Larry Fitzgerald is the steal of the top 100 overall on draft boards, pretty much.
No doubt, and so you've seen the Fitzgerald owners jumping out to these big starts, and they've been doing pretty well. I think the game script calls for a nice game from Kaepernick and both of the wide receivers this week.
You saw them all eat last week, you know, and that's, you know, you got to hope, you know, for those Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith owners out there that the Niners play a lot of games like they did last week where their defense stinks, the other team gets up on them, and Kaepernick is throwing to get back. Kaepernick even had a great game fantasy-wise. So, you know, maybe that happens again this week, but that Arizona defense isn't the Steelers defense. So, you know. And Patrick Peterson's going to be on somebody. So, you know, temper your expectations.
It's going to be a little bit tougher.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tougher. But that Cardinal team right now has it going on, you know, on all cylinders.
They're looking pretty good. Do you think Carlos Williams is
– if you're listening,
oh, my God.
Michael
Floyd is
– oh, my God.
He's horrific. I'm so glad. I didn't even look at him on draft boards. I kind of finished the Cardinals offense, period. But, you know, I'm wishing I maybe would have took a couple more shares of the Johnson kid or whatever. And even Fitzgerald in those middle rounds where those veteran wide receivers are going, I was passing over Fitzgerald. But, yeah, Michael Floyd is I don't know what happened to this guy. He's an absolute unknown. Now, I want to talk about McCoy because – I know the McCoy owners are frustrated now. And, you know, we saw people drafted third round, middle of the third round, sometime late third round for McCoy. And we're getting late third round running back right now that's on the injury report every week. And the goal line carries are gone.
Yeah.
One of the best parts of his game, the goal line carries. Now they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? What do you do with LeSean McCoy? He's not going to be the – RB1 superstar, I don't think, that, you know, people that drafted him, you know, were hoping for. But I still think there's going to be some good value in him. The emergence of Carlos Williams and how good he looks doesn't help that situation for McCoy owners who thought it was just going to be all his show. But these nagging injuries are hurting him. You know, hopefully fantasy owners of McCoy get a fully healthy at some point McCoy, where Rex Ryan could just keep feeding this guy the ball. But through 2 weeks, it doesn't look too good, Corey.
No doubt. I agree with you 100% on that. Tyrod Taylor has flashed.
Yeah, rough matchup again this week in Miami with Sue. I mean, that can't be too promising for McCoy owners.
No, and not to mention the fact, this is a game where if you one of those guys have quarterback issues and you're able to score Tyrod Taylor on waivers, this is obviously a good week to play him because we think they have to go down to Miami and put some points on the board to keep up. Still going to be tough to do with that Dolphins deal, but we do think we can get some work done against that secondary, and Taylor's a player that we both like as we get ready for the Fab run tonight. If you're, you know, going out there to replace a Romo, or you don't know the situation with Breeze or Stafford is, or, you know, God forbid, Jay Cutler. On the Dolphins side of the football, so far we're kind of seeing what we expected to see. We want to see some more from Devontae Parker. Rishard Matthews has kind of stepped up and looked nice and so forth. Kenny Stills is nowhere to be found. And Jarvis Landry is the target monster that we thought he would be, and expect more of that this weekend against the Buffalo Bills. But, and Ryan Tannehill, I mean, right now everything is kind of falling into place. We want to see some more from Miller, but everything seems to be falling into place for what the Dolphins were supposed to be.
Yeah, Corey, I think the surprise on this offense so far, you have to say, is Rishard Matthews. You know, being the clear-cut number two wide receiver. I'll throw this one at you. Do you believe in him? And for the people that are going after him on waivers tonight, how much would you be bidding on him? And do you think he's a bust pickup, or do you think it's a full season-long thing? And I think for the people that are, yeah, I mean, I think right now you can. I think the question that you got to ask yourself with Matthews is he just keeping the seat warm until Devontae Parker takes his job and runs with it? And then if you make, Matthews an expensive pickup, you know, in week 8, week 9, are you regretting it because Devontae Parker and, you know, Jarvis Landry are the offense? So
basically, the way I'm handling that situation tonight is I'm picking him up. I'm spending a smaller, below 10% number of the budget to go after him on teams where I already have Devontae Parker, and I have a little bit of space that I could free up if I got a Marcus Wheaton or a guy like that I can send to the pasture, you know, so to speak. So
let me throw this one at you. Travis Benjamin, Rishard Matthews, and Aaron Dobson. Who would you be going after in what order tonight?
I think it's got to be – that's tough. I think I go Matthews, Dobson, Benjamin. I think Matthews and Dobson have more every week potential. But like you said, with Dobson, he may very well get to, you know, keep the job longer depending on what the situation with Brandon LaFell. So their situations are very similar, to be honest with you. So it's kind of like they're in that same price range. I think you can get Dobson for a little cheaper, though.
That, you know what? That's the million-dollar question is
we'll guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we will find out. That's for sure.
And we can come back and report on that next week. The Bears are in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Everybody's going to be on the Russell Wilson, Jimmy Graham stack. The Jimmy Graham owner, I mean, I thought you kind of knew what you were getting yourself into. This was going to be a touchdown dependent, not a lot of targets. But what we don't like is Russell Wilson throws the ball 30 times last week and Jimmy Graham doesn't get none of it.
I almost forgot Jimmy Graham was on the team watching that game. I was like, he finally caught a ball, and I was like, oh, my God, where has Jimmy Graham been the whole game? You know, going into the year, everybody thought the passing offense would be based around Jimmy Graham, and, you know, now the reports all over the place of how unhappy Jimmy Graham is, and, you know, he hates this offense and team and yada yada, but you know what that means, Corey. You know, guy complaining in the media you know, a superstar complaining usually gets fed relentlessly this upcoming week. And, man, oh, man, you couldn't ask for a better matchup and game than he has. This is going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly real quick. And either Jimmy Graham or Marshawn Lynch should be in everyone's daily lineup, or both, you know, this upcoming Sunday.
Don't like to really play the non-pass catching running backs, but like you said, we do think Marshawn Lynch is there for a big workload. This team should be able to grind down on the Bears at home, you know, and the Bears come in with Jimmy Clausen, and it's nothing
right.
You can do with the Bears. You know, you Matt Fortin, your season-long league, you have to play him, and you just got to be a man about it.
And Alshon Jeffrey isn't going to play again this Sunday, and if he did, I wouldn't play him anyway. So they're probably going to sit him and say, we got no shot anyway, take another week off. And that's 2 weeks.
the Eddie Royal show in Seattle this upcoming week. The Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning's noodle arm are in Detroit to take on the Lions. And you know what? They can get some action against the Lions, though, because the Lions' defense does not look the same.
No, and everybody, you know, everybody was burying Peyton Manning in the first quarter of the Chiefs game last week. And then Peyton Manning came out of the grave and told everybody to relax. You know, he looked a lot better, from the second quarter on. Gave a nice, I think, 30-point fantasy game. Don't bury Peyton Manning yet. He's a legend, and he knows what's going on. And, I think he'll be okay. Peyton Manning will be okay. The rest of the offense will be.
You still feel good about Emmanuel Sanders, and you still feel good about Demaryius Thomas, but I don't know how good you feel about C.J. Anderson.
I think you took the words right out of my mouth, Corey.
It's getting ugly for C.J. Anderson. That offensive line ain't the same without Ryan Clady. He doesn't look like the same running back. Their game script is, you know, Ronnie Hillman looks more spry. I don't know. It's a lot. If I'm Jay Seeley with C.J. Anderson at number four, number five overall, you just got to go ahead and accept you have the egg on your face right now.
Yeah, I feel bad for Jake Seeley, man, because every draft he took him in the first round, and no matter where, if he had the first pick, third pick, second, whatever, he was all in. He was all in on C.J. Anderson, but through 2 weeks, it doesn't look too good. Is C.J. Anderson one more bad performance this week away from losing the job to Ronnie Hillman completely?
I think we're getting close to that point. Ronnie Hillman should be owned. I know he is in ours, but Ronnie Hillman should definitely be owned in all 12-team and better leagues, because I think that he may look like the more dynamic player right now, so that's going to be intriguing to watch play out. If you're a Matthew Stafford owner, are you carrying a backup quarterback, not because of injury, because of the performance?
Oh, I would say more for the injury right now, because he's all banged up. He's all banged up, so you do need a backup to Stafford. I don't know. I mean, if you're carrying a backup, you're really not going to play anybody that you're getting off waivers over Stafford right now. But, you know, you can't be too confident right now in Stafford week in and week out.
Won't get a chance to get to Monday night, but a lot of the situations there are pretty much wrapped up and sewed up. If you have 90 seconds left in the program. Chris, I want you, before we get out of here, got this last minute, Amir Abdullah or Danny Woodhead in week three?
Danny Woodhead.
Amir Abdullah or David Johnson in week three?
Ooh. I don't like Amir Abdullah's matchup. That Denver defense is a top unit. That Denver defense is legit this year, Corey, and you got to start shying away from your fantasy players that are playing it. Calvin Johnson, Amir Abdullah, they're in for some rough matchups this week versus that Denver defense, I think. Joique Bell is unplayable also.
I agree with you 100%. So my team is where I have Calvin Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. I guess I'll be ready for week four for that 200-point week.
Yeah, not this week, Corey.
It's not going to go down. But listen, as each and every week, thank you for checking out the Takeover. Hopefully we all do well in week three, have some better luck, and not get no injuries. I think Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Chris McCarroll. I am the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, and the Takeover will be back with you next week.